America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. It is, for those of you who come from the liturgical end of the Christian spectrum, it is Maundy Thursday, Thursday the 5th of April, 2007. Chuck Carlson is going to be with us at 8 o'clock this morning, Central Time. You can find Chuck's website at We Hold These Truths, which is at WHTT.org. WeHoldTheseTruths.org. Chuck Carlson is one of the vanguard figures in the fight for a different perspective within the Christian community on Zionism and Christian Zionism specifically. We Hold These Truths is an incredible website, and Chuck Carlson has been in the forefront of a lot of battles, a lot of good fights that we need to hear about and support Chuck on in the days ahead. He will be on at 8 o'clock this morning, Central Time. All kinds of things that we could talk about this morning. Plenty of good things to take a look at in the news. One of the items that comes to the fore, I have mentioned that has first and foremost been posted by Larry Chin at the online journal, The Last Confession of E. Howard Hunt, the U.S. government CIA team murdered JFK. We're going to be taking a look after the first commercial break at Larry's summation of the Rolling Stone article he makes reference to, that is now online. You can find the piece by Eric Hedegaard entitled The Last Confessions of E. Howard Hunt. It's a very lengthy article, about 8 internet pages in duration, but you can find it at rollingstone.com. Simply look for rollingstone.com and look for Eric Hedegaard's piece, The Last Confessions of E. Howard Hunt. While I don't agree with absolutely everything in the article, I think it is abundantly clear that there is a lot there, including a picture or a drawing of E. Howard Hunt in his sick bed with an American flag over him, and he's writing what appears to be his last notes, his last will and testament. And there's a picture of President Kennedy up on the wall behind him with a dreadful wound in the middle of his forehead, and also some pictures of some hanging skeletons in an open closet, which presumably Mr. Hunt decided to open somewhat prior to the end of his life. But if you get a chance, take a look at that piece of Eric Hedegaard entitled The Last Confessions of E. Howard Hunt. As Hedegaard describes it, he was the ultimate keeper of secrets lurking in the shadows of American history. He toppled banana republics, planned the Bay of Pigs invasion, and led the Watergate break-in. Now he would reveal what he had always kept hidden, who killed John Fitzgerald Kennedy. And this is curious, again, in conjunction with E. Howard Hunt's longstanding relationship with William F. Buckley of National Review, and the whole issue of William F. Buckley, of course, and National Review, and the latter's influence on the establishment American right has long been a matter of discussion and speculation among many of us. Michael Collins Piper has said some things about William F. Buckley in National Review in his book The Judas Goats, which bears underscoring in regard to the relationship of Buckley to E. Howard Hunt. And when we talk about E. Howard Hunt and some of the specific figures that he names in his own so-called last will and testament in regard to some things that he wanted to get off of his chest, apparently, it bears underscoring that E. Howard Hunt and the people that he names in his piece that ends up in Rolling Stone are, in fact, figures who fit in very plausibly with Michael Collins Piper's thesis in Final Judgment. This seems to be a multi-layered plot against Mr. Kennedy, as near as I can tell, thinking about, of course, the wealth of information out there that suggests that very strongly proves, to my satisfaction, that there were multiple gunmen in Dealey Plaza that day, multiple gunshots, and that aside from that issue, we had a very intricate political conspiracy. We'll be back. This is Mark Gankoff's America, coming to you live from San Antonio on RBN. Stay tuned.
There is one and only one national populist news weekly, staffed by an unsurpassed team of veteran investigative journalists who have dared to rip the veil of deception from the cover-up stories promoted by the big money-controlled media monopoly.
American Free Press.
AFP's no-holds-barred journalists fearlessly seek the truth, no matter how controversial the issue. AFP publishes exciting, in-depth, uncensored news and information good patriotic Americans need to know to combat the coming police state being clamped in our republic. The American Free Press is your voice. Subscribe today and catch up on the real news. Mention RBN when you call and receive a one-year subscription, plus a copy of Michael Collins Piper's latest bestseller, The High Priests of War. All that for just $49. Call AFP toll-free, 888-699-NEWS, or visit AmericanFreePress.net.
The Republic Broadcasting Network is very proud to present a new educational tool that will inform and update our listeners to the most critically important topics and issues of the day. This new 50 CD collection contains invaluable information, carefully selected from the very best shows in the RBN archives. These standard format CDs have been painstakingly edited to remove all commercials and unrelated topic content. Each CD has been divided into multiple tracks for ease of use and review in any standard CD player. Each CD targets a specific subject matter. For example, Agenda 21, vaccinations, 9/11, depleted uranium, the war in Iraq, fluoride, deception in the churches, genetically modified foods, animal RFID tags, and many more topics. We encourage you to make copies and get them out to as many people as you can. Call and order your library CDs for the price of $150, 800-724-2719, or go to the website rbnlive.com.
Gold, ever climbing, as the dollar continues to spiral into a free fall. How long before it hits rock bottom? Between 1800 and 1913, the value of the dollar was more or less constant. Since the creation of the Federal Reserve in 1913, the value of the dollar has depreciated 97%. Due to global inflationary policies and the continued erosion of the U.S. dollar, gold and silver are still in the early stages of the greatest bull market the world has ever seen. Whether you purchase precious metals to stabilize your portfolio or you're looking for strong growth, gold and silver will provide you with both. Don't you owe it to yourself to do business with Republic Trading Group? Call us today and become a part of the raging bull in gold and silver. 1-800-691-7898. That's 1-800-691-7898. Call now. 1-800-691-7898.
This is Mark Gankoff's America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Chuck Carlson of We Hold These Truths, WHTT.org, will be with us at 8 o'clock this morning for a couple of hours conversation. Chuck is one of the real key people attempting to counter the worst excesses of the Christian Zionist movement in this country and abroad. I suppose that if you were to think of John Hagee as the leader of Christian Zionism internationally, in his worldwide role with Christians United for Israel and all the things that Mr. Hagee is doing with his Cornerstone Church in San Antonio, one of his most significant counterparts at the other end of the spectrum on this question of Israel would clearly have to be Chuck Carlson of We Hold These Truths, which you can find at www.whtt.org. You know, other names come to mind. Mark Glenn of Crescent and Cross and the American Free Press is certainly in the vanguard of the truth movement on this whole subject of Christian Zionism, as is Michael Collins Piper, as are several other people, including Willis Carto for a very long time at AFP. But Chuck Carlson is certainly, in my view, in that company. And again, you can find Chuck's site at www.whtt.org. I've been looking forward to having Chuck on for a real long time, and we were finally able to arrange this a couple of days ago. I'm really looking forward to it. I think it will be a fine experience for the listeners, as well as a fine and learning experience for me as well. Back to this whole subject, then, of the so-called last confession of E. Howard Hunt, U.S. government CIA team murdered JFK. Larry Chin comments on this in the online journal. Larry is an online journal associate editor. He makes reference to the April 5th issue of Rolling Stone, which features the deathbed confession of CIA operative and key Bay of Pigs Watergate Nixon administration figure E. Howard Hunt. The Last Confession of E. Howard Hunt by Eric Hedegaard is now online. You can find it in the online Rolling Stone site. This piece is significant, as Larry Chin indicates to us here, not only for its exploration of Hunt, but for breakthrough information that appears to thoroughly corroborate the work of key JFK assassination researchers and historians. According to Hunt's confession, which was taken by his son, St. John Saint Hunt, over the course of many personal and carefully planned father-son meetings, the following individuals were among the key participants. Lyndon Johnson. LBJ, whose own career was assisted by JFK nemesis J. Edgar Hoover, gave the orders to a CIA-led hit team and helped guide the Warren Commission lone gunman cover-up. Cord Myers, CIA agent, architect of the Operation Mockingbird disinformation apparatus, and husband of Mary Meyer, who had an affair with JFK. David Atlee Phillips, CIA and Bay of Pigs veteran, who recruited William Harvey of the CIA and Cuban exile militant Antonio Viciana. William Harvey, CIA and Bay of Pigs veteran, connected to mafia figures Santos Traficante and Sam Giancana. Antonio Viciana, Cuban exile and founder of the CIA-backed Alpha 66. Frank Sturgis, CIA operative, mercenary, Bay of Pigs veteran, and later Watergate figure. David Morales, CIA hitman, Bay of Pigs veteran, who also was involved with the assassination of Robert Kennedy. Lucien Sarti, Corsican assassin and drug trafficker, possible French gunman, and second Grassy Knoll shooter. Would Hunt continue to tell lies on his deathbed, as we continue with Larry Chin's account here? Perhaps. Would Hunt tell a final tall story or two to protect himself, or perhaps deal one final slap in the face to the U.S. government, which made him a fall guy for Watergate? Yes. Would Hunt hide the involvement of certain individuals to whom he remained loyal, including people who are still alive? Certainly. Anything from an operative like Hunt can only be accepted with caution and healthy skepticism. Nevertheless, for Larry Chin, Hunt's scenario has the ring of truth. Each of the named are well-known CIA and CIA-linked players exposed by many researchers and historians who have detailed the enduring connection from the Bay of Pigs and the Dallas hit to both Watergate and Iran-Contra. The Hunt confession vindicates generations of historians, researchers, and whistleblowers who have given their lives and careers to expose the truth about Dealey Plaza. While there are too many to name, they include, but are not limited to, Jim Garrison, Mark Lane, Fletcher Prouty, Josiah Thompson, Carl Oglesby, Peter Dale Scott, Anthony Summers, Robert Groden, Victor Marchetti, David Lifton, Harrison Livingstone, Michael Canfield, A.J. Weberman, Sylvia Meager, William Turner, Jim Mars, Pete Bruton, John Newman, Philip Melanson, Hal Verb, Mae Brussel, Harold Weisberg, Oliver Stone, Mike Ruppert, and Dan Hopsicker, Jim DiEugenio, and Linda Pease. Meanwhile, the criminal deceptions of the U.S. government and its corporate media, the Warren Commission, and the dirty work of cover-up specialists such as Gerald Posner and Mark Furman, and the legions of JFK assassination revisionist theorists deserve a final rebuke and eternal scorn. Although the Rolling Stone piece does not address it, the Hunt confession directly corroborates two classic investigations that previously exposed the role of Hunt. They are Mark Lane's plausible denial and Michael Canfield and A.J. Weberman's coup d'etat in America. Lane's book details how he took Hunt to court, won a libel suit, essentially proving that the CIA murdered JFK and that Hunt lied about his whereabouts. The investigation of Canfield and Weberman identified Hunt and Frank Sturgis as two of the three tramps arrested at Dealey Plaza. Time has only made these investigations more relevant. More than ever, their books and those of the JFK historians and researchers above listed deserve to be found, read, and studied. The Rolling Stone piece fails to go after the role of Richard Nixon and George Herbert Walker Bush, but the Hunt confession, if accurate, leads directly to them, to their lifelong associates, and all the way to the present George W. Bush administration. The Dallas Watergate-Iran-Contra connection has been thoroughly documented by the key JFK researchers, and in particular the work of Peter Dale Scott, one of the very first to show the deep political continuity across three decades. Daniel Hopsicker's Barry and the Boys goes into even more detail on the players. Consider the career of George Herbert Walker Bush. He was a Texas oil man with Zapata Oil and a CIA operative involved with the Bay of Pigs. Bush's name was found in the papers of George DeMorenschild, one of Lee Harvey Oswald's CIA handlers. As documented by Pete Bruton, the author of The Mafia, the CIA, and George Bush, Bush was deeply connected with a small circle of Texas elites tied to the CIA and the Mafia, as well as the Florida-based CIA anti-Castro Cuban exile Mafia milieu, as Richard Nixon's hand-picked Republican National Committee chairman. And later as CIA director, Bush constantly covered up and stonewalled for his boss about Watergate, which itself, by the admission of Frank Sturgis and others, was a cover-up of the JFK assassination. Tracking any of the individual CIA operatives involved with the Bay of Pigs, it is impossible to ignore or deny direct connections to George Herbert Walker Bush and his crime family across the Kennedy assassinations, covert operations in Indochina, and later Latin America. Beyond any reasonable doubt, the U.S. government murdered John F. Kennedy. There are still people alive today who are directly involved and indirectly implicated. Some are probably even serving in positions of high influence. Some still have never been identified or touched. All of these individuals still need to be pursued, exposed, and brought to justice. That's Larry Chin speaking today. He is the associate editor of Online Journal. I have posted this piece at Breaking All the Rules News, and will later post a direct link to the original Rolling Stone story posted by Eric Hedegaard entitled The Last Confession of E. Howard Hunt. What is my own take on this story? I have read some of the books that Larry Chin mentions here, the one by Mark Lynn, the one by David Lifton, the one by Anthony Summers, originally entitled Conspiracy, and now referred to by the title Not in Your Lifetime. I have read Jim Marr's book on this subject, Crossfire. I have read Mark Lane's writings on the subject of the Kennedy assassination, including his discussion of the phenomenon of E. Howard Hunt in his book Plausible Denial. I think there's a tremendous amount of information in all of these books that's very factual. I will go on record with something, however, that I think is most significant that has been missed by Larry Chin. One, he does not include Michael Collins Piper in this listing of very significant researchers who have been involved with the Kennedy case for quite a number of years. And I believe very firmly, after reading Michael Collins Piper's book, Final Judgment, you can find a review of that book that I have posted at my own website at markdankoff.com, that the Piper scenario adds the additional connecting dot that has been missed, in my view, by all of these other very fine researchers. That link is the Israeli Mossad. That link is David Ben-Gurion of Israel. That link is the Israeli nuclear program that Mr. Kennedy was insisting should come under international scrutiny and international judgment in regard to what the Israelis were doing at that time and continue to do at Dimona. And if that sounds like an implausible thesis, or even an outlandish one, I would really urge you to get a copy of Mike Piper's book, Final Judgment. You'll see the extent to which his research certainly does not refute the earlier research of some of these very fine people, including Anthony Summers, the author of Conspiracy, later to be titled Not in Your Lifetime. But Mike Piper simply adds to what has already been said by these other researchers, and brings his thesis, I think, to a new plateau, a new level of understanding in regard to how and why it could be that Israel had the means, the motive, and the opportunity to have conducted this assassination in terms of being the ultimate power behind it. Israel has a connection to all of these previous players in the Kennedy plot. And Mike Piper's book, I think, will be the final punctuation point in history on this whole sordid affair. This is Mark Danfoss, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, in the Republic Broadcasting Network. Chuck Carlson of Behold These Truths will be on at 8 o'clock Central Time. Stay tuned.
There is one and only one national populist news weekly, staffed by an unsurpassed team of veteran investigative journalists who have dared to rip the veil of deception from the cover-up stories promoted by the big money-controlled media monopoly.
American Free Press.
AFP's no-holds-barred journalists fearlessly seek the truth, no matter how controversial the issue. AFP publishes exciting, in-depth, uncensored news and information good patriotic Americans need to know to combat the coming police state being clamped in our republic. The American Free Press is your voice. Subscribe today and catch up on the real news. Mention RBN when you call and receive a one-year subscription, plus a copy of Michael Collins Piper's latest bestseller, The High Priests of War. All that for just $49? Call AFP toll-free, 888-699-NEWS, or visit AmericanFreePress.net.
It's true. Gold and silver have been a source of true wealth for years. In fact, people around the world have used these metals to buy and sell goods for over 5,000 years. And gold and silver will continue to be a source of true wealth for the foreseeable future. If you look back in history, you'll see that all fiat currencies have failed to maintain wealth or failed altogether. But gold has always protected its holder, a true asset, usable to anyone around the globe. As the value of your Federal Reserve note continues to depreciate, gold will be your only insurance. As an example, in 1975, you could buy a $40,000 home with 1,000 gold coins. Today, that same house is $400,000, yet you can still buy it with 1,000 gold coins. To find out more information on how to protect your wealth, call Republic Trading at 1-800-691-7898. That's 1-800-691-7898. It's true. Gold and silver have been a source of true wealth for years. In fact, people around the world have used these metals to buy and sell goods for over 5,000 years. And gold and silver will continue to be a source of true wealth for the foreseeable future. If you look back in history, you'll see that all fiat currencies have failed to maintain wealth or failed altogether. But gold has always protected its holder, a true asset, usable to anyone around the globe. As the value of your Federal Reserve note continues to depreciate, gold will be your only insurance. As an example, in 1975, you could buy a $40,000 home with 1,000 gold coins. Today, that same house is $400,000, yet you can still buy it with 1,000 gold coins. To find out more information on how to protect your wealth, call Republic Trading at 1-800-691-7898. That's 1-800-691-7898.
Coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network, Chuck Carlson of We Hold These Truths, which you can find at WHTT.org, will be with us at 8 o'clock this morning Central Time. We're going to spend a couple of hours talking about Israel, the Israeli lobby, and where we seem to be with this situation in the Middle East. And speaking of that, Webster Tarpley has a post, of course, from March 26th, an online journal entitled Operation Bite. April 6th, sneak attack by U.S. forces against Iran planned, Russian military sources warn. Let's keep an eye on that because obviously April 6th is tomorrow. And according to these Russian military sources, they have some reason to believe that the attack by the United States on Iran will happen and that it will happen specifically, going to this our Tarpley piece in the online journal, for 4 a.m. on April 6th, the Good Friday opening of Easter weekend. This is something written by the well-known Russian journalist Andrei Uglanov in the Moscow Weekly Argumenti Nedeli, if I'm pronouncing that correctly in Russian, which I undoubtedly am not. But that's the scoop from Andrei Uglanov, as Webster Tarpley reports it. The Tarpley piece, at least in the first paragraph, does not mention whether or not this 4 a.m. time on April 6th is Tehran time, or whether it's universal coordinated time, or it's Eastern time in the U.S. But at any rate, this whole thing, supposedly, according to this Russian journalist Andrei Uglanov, is supposed to happen 4 a.m. April 6th, the Good Friday opening of the Easter weekend. Let's hope that this report is wrong. We trust that it's wrong. We sincerely pray that it's wrong, both in terms of the time and date that have been set by this article, as well as the whole question of attacking Iran generally. In conjunction with that, I would suggest a very, very fine piece written at Global Research today by Dr. Michael Chosadovsky, entitled The War on Iran. I think it's a pretty good summary of where we are at this particular point. And Dr. Chosadovsky's article at globalresearch.ca is something that I'll have posted later, Breaking All the Rules News, in the next 24 hours or so. So keep an eye for that on that story and on that article by Chosadovsky, as one that really connects a lot of dots in this present situation between the U.S. and Iran. Even as there has been at least a temporary cooling of all of this with the decision of Iran yesterday to release these 15 British Marines. And, of course, we'll keep an eye on that story ongoingly. Bob in Texas, you're on the line for Mark Gankoff. Go ahead, Bob.
Hey, good morning, Mark.
Hi, how are you? Good to hear from you.
Hey, I'm fine. I just don't call in every day. I listen every day. You know, your program, it exposes especially these people in Memphis that have the 50,000 watt blowtorch to some truth that they won't get in the mainstream media, or you know, on the television, or even in the newspapers. I called this morning because I wanted to mention, related to the Kennedy assassination, the documentary DVD done by a teacher out in California named John Hankey, JFK 2. Okay?
Sure.
And in his documentary, he exposes all the interconnectedness between the Dulles brothers, Bush, and all of the players, J.J. McCloy, the people that ended up on the Warren Commission, and how they covered it up, and how they have an interconnectedness that it goes all the way back to the Skull and Bones and Bush's original initiation into the CIA, which was in the 50s. Now, Bush, you know, he had testified that he hadn't been involved with the CIA ever prior to his being named as the director. But anyway,
and as I understand it, Bob, from several sources I've read in the past, the senior Bush was apparently appointed by the CIA to be their liaison to J. Edgar Hoover in regard to the Warren Commission investigation. And Hoover and Bush, as I understand it, decided that that the senior Bush would be their liaison to the anti-Castro Cuban exile community in terms of that angle in the Warren Commission investigation.
Well, you know something, Mark, people my age will remember that there was a memo that came out shortly after the assassination that mentioned a George Bush, and it was kind of blown off as some other George Bush in the CIA, and it wasn't the George Bush that became the president. But in 1993, and actually I think it was released in 1988, was this memo from the FBI, which I have right in front of me right now, where George Herbert Walker Bush had contacted the Houston FBI office to inform them that some gentleman by the name of Parrott was planning to kill the president. Now, he made this phone call an hour after Kennedy had been shot, and he made the call from Tyler, Texas, and this is all documented. So here's Bush, and it looks like he's trying to establish an alibi, but it's not very long. It's pretty short. Can I read it to you?
Sure, absolutely. Go ahead.
Okay, this is being reported by a gentleman by the name of Graham Kitchell.
We're going to take a break, Bob, but hold on, and we'll get to this when we come back. This is Mark Dankoff's America coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Stay tuned.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Hi, Steve Shank, Fearless Task Force. Sure, you've got a mortgage and credit cards. Your debt creation is probably the smartest thing you've ever done. How would it be to find $75,000, $150,000, $200,000 or more you never knew you had? Now the task force has strategies to make these debts into virtual savings accounts. Ben Franklin said, a penny saved is a penny earned. By doing nothing more than you're doing right now, because you've used your credit, the right strategies can make the debt part of your financial life the smartest thing you've ever done. Oh, by the way, your strategies cost you nothing out of pocket. Go ahead and check out the debt elimination scams if you'd like to. You wouldn't take money from a loan shark, so you may not want to give your money to a debt shark. For an understanding of what a financial genius you truly are, call 800-409-5633. On the web, mydebtfreepath.com. 800-409-5633.
There is one and only one national populist news weekly, staffed by an unsurpassed team of veteran investigative journalists who have dared to rip the veil of deception from the cover-up stories promoted by the big money-controlled media monopoly.
American Free Press.
AFP's no-holds-barred journalists fearlessly seek the truth, no matter how controversial the issue. AFP publishes exciting, in-depth, uncensored news and information good patriotic Americans need to know to combat the coming police state being clamped in our republic. The American Free Press is your voice. Subscribe today and catch up on the real news. Mention RBN when you call and receive a one-year subscription, plus a copy of Michael Collins Piper's latest bestseller, The High Priests of War. All that for just $49? Call AFP toll-free, 888-699-NEWS, or visit AmericanFreePress.net.
Gold, ever climbing, as the dollar continues to spiral into a free fall. How long before it hits rock bottom? Between 1800 and 1913, the value of the dollar was more or less constant. Since the creation of the Federal Reserve in 1913, the value of the dollar has depreciated 97%. Due to global inflationary policies and the continued erosion of the U.S. dollar, gold and silver are still in the early stages of the greatest bull market the world has ever seen. Whether you purchase precious metals to stabilize your portfolio or you're looking for strong growth, gold and silver will provide you with both. Don't you owe it to yourself to do business with Republic Trading Group? Call us today and become a part of the raging bull in gold and silver. 1-800-691-7898. That's 1-800-691-7898. Call now. 1-800-691-7898.
America coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, and the Republic Broadcasting Network. Chuck Carlson of We Hold These Truths will be with us at 8 o'clock Central Time. You can find Chuck's website at WHTT.org. We'll be talking about Christian Zionism and some of the latest things going on in that whole controversy as it relates to both the Christian community specifically and American foreign policy generally. That will be Chuck Carlson at 8 o'clock Central Time. You can find Chuck's site at WHTT.org. We're talking with Bob in Texas currently. Go ahead, Bob.
Okay, Mark. This document is a memorandum that was taken down by the special agent that took the phone call from George Bush, and it's dated November the 22nd, 1963. And it says, unknown subject. And then below that it says, assassination of President John F. Kennedy. At 1:45 p.m., Mr. George H.W. Bush, president of the Zapata Offshore Drilling Company, Houston, Texas, residence 5525 Briar, Houston, telephonically furnished the following information by long-distance telephone call from Tyler, Texas. Bush stated that he wanted to be kept confidential but wanted to furnish hearsay that he recalled hearing in recent weeks, the day and source unknown. He stated that one James Parrott has been talking of killing the president when he comes to Houston. Bush stated that Parrott is possibly a student at the University of Houston and is active in political matters in this area. He stated that he felt Mrs. Foley, telephone number SU25239, or Arlene Smith, telephone number JA99194, of the Harris County Republican Party headquarters would be able to furnish additional information regarding the identity of Parrott. Bush stated that he was proceeding to Dallas, Texas, would remain in the Sheraton Dallas Hotel, and return to his residence on 11-23-63. His office telephone number is CA20395. Now, this document isn't very well known about in the public, but it's been around for quite some time. Another thing that Hanke points out in his DVD is that Bush met with J. Edgar Hoover the following day on 11-23-63, and I think he just told J. Edgar Hoover how the cow eats the cabbage. Now, most people, when they see George Herbert Walker Bush, they see an elder statesman. But this is one of the most evil people to ever be born on planet Earth. He's a murderer, and what's really important to recognize is that our country took a turn due south for the worst. Immediately following Kennedy's assassination, everything started changing in this country. Our educational system, all of a sudden, busing came into play, and integration was a big deal. And war that Kennedy wanted to end in Vietnam was escalated. You know, just so many things that took place. And, you know, when you take a look at the big picture, and most people don't see what Michael Collins Piper has produced, but he's correct also in that there were a lot of people that wanted to get rid of Kennedy. And all of these people have an interlocking relationship. You've got the Masons, the Mafia, the Jews, and they all got together to off Kennedy. And it was convenient to all of them. It made sense to every one of them. You know, it's just like people say, well, how can the Pope be involved? Well, the Pope and the Mafia are both based in Italy. And, you know, the Mafia, most people think is Italian, when in fact the big people in the Mafia are Jews. Meyer Lansky, Bugsy Siegel, Mo Dalitz, Legs Diamond. I mean, these are names that just come off the top of my head, but they're all Jews. Bugsy Siegel. So the Mafia may be called Italian, but the people that run it are Jewish.
And I think some of those names you mentioned, Bob, thinking just taking one for a minute, Meyer Lansky, I think Piper does a good job of showing that just Lansky's name alone would provide a direct link between some of the constituencies and individuals that are mentioned in this Larry Chin article that I read from this morning in the online journal pertaining to the E. Howard Hunt connection to the Kennedy death and the government of Israel.
Well, and, you know, there are different groups that are compartmentalized to do different things, and all the people that were associated with Hunt and the assassination were people that were also involved in the Bay of Pigs operation, which was called Operation Zapata.
Yes.
Now, I just read this memo, and it tells you that Bush was the president or CEO of Zapata Oil Company. And it all goes together. I mean, when you see this Hanke DVD, he has done a superb job of connecting all the names and the people and their positions. And basically what he shows is that the CIA is nothing less than a infiltration of Nazis into the United States, and that the original OSS that was started with like Reinhard Gehlen, and you had the Dulles brothers, and you had the Harrimans, and you had Bush, and you have Porter Goss in Operation 40, and you got Bush in Zapata, Operation Zapata. All of these people are involved in not only the Bay of Pigs and the Kennedy assassination, Watergate, and the only thing that they've done today is they've changed these Cuban players for Arabs. And they're using the Arabs as patsies and trying to make the American people believe that we have this Arab terrorism, when in fact it's a rogue element of Arabs that have been hired as contract agents for the CIA.
Interesting. Well, I tell you, you know, looking at this Kennedy thing and just all the some of the players that you cite who were on the Warren Commission, well, I tell you, that in and of itself opens up a whole can of worms for me, because in all the years since the president's death, and I've read a number of these books, you know, that are cited in this Rolling Stone article dealing with the Kennedy assassination, Anthony Summers' book, Jim Marr's book, both of Mark Lane's major treatises on this subject. I've read the David Lifton book, Best Evidence, and the list kind of goes on. And, of course, I've read Mike Piper's book, Final Judgment, which for me really puts the icing on the cake in this whole thing. But fundamentally, I think when you look at all of these credible researchers who have written on the Kennedy death, you know, you can see how, in my view, both in terms of how the assassination happened, as well as the backgrounds of Ruby and Oswald, and then the way in which the autopsy was conducted at Bethesda Naval Hospital in Maryland, and the fact that the actual x-rays and photographs were not produced for the Warren Commission, and that you had a version of events coming out of Bethesda that contradicted the initial observations of the surgeons at Parkland Hospital in Dallas. The list of holes in the Warren Commission story just goes on, and it is really hard to believe that the people who comprised that Warren Commission could possibly have produced a report with this many holes in it. These were not stupid people. Presumably, these were folks who were among the best and the brightest in regard to the roles that they were playing in the American political elite. And when you see the way in which all of these researchers, all of the good ones, regardless of their own differences of opinion on what happened to Kennedy, there's enough commonality in terms of their analysis of some of the things that went on that they have effectively, in my judgment, destroyed the credibility of the Warren Commission completely. And it begs the question as to what the purpose of the Warren Commission was and is, and in the extent to which quite clearly there was, in my view, a deliberate attempt on the part of the framers of the Warren Commission to keep the truth on this whole thing from ever coming out. But when you look at the way in which these effective researchers, some of which are mentioned in this Rolling Stone article, have debunked so many aspects of the official story that we're not simply dealing here with a conspiracy and a cover-up in regard to the death of Kennedy, but it seems to me that the outlandish character of this Warren Commission report has brought the credibility and the legitimacy of our own government into extreme question in the last 44 years. And I think it's produced a crisis of confidence on the part of the American people where their political leadership and institutions are concerned that has never really been redressed. I mean, this thing has lingered for 44 years now, and I think the after effects of it are probably as strong as they were the day of the president's killing.
Well, you know what, Mark? It sure indicates that we need to get to the bottom of 9/11 right now and not let it drag on for 50 years like this deal with Kennedy. You know, I wanted to point out a couple of things that Hanke brings to light in his DVD that most people have never heard, and I hadn't heard, and I've read everything. You know, our libraries look a lot alike. But he brings out the fact that Nixon got into politics via Prescott Bush, the grandfather of the current president.
Yes.
And Prescott Bush brings Nixon into the situation, and then Nixon hires Jack Ruby. Jack Ruby worked for Nixon back in 1947. So it's so interconnected, it's unbelievable. J.J. McCloy, he was the commissioner over the Nuremberg trials, and what he did, the guys that were convicted at Nuremberg, they were sentenced to, a lot of them, to 25, 30 years life, and he pardoned them and reduced their sentences, and most of them got out within a couple of years. And then they came here under Operation Paperclip as CIA agents who were given new names, basically it was part of an operation to bring in Nazi spies into America. Well, okay, the guy from NASA was one of them. What's his name? Wernher von Braun. Was a Nazi, and we brought in hundreds, if not thousands, of them, and put them into the CIA and put them into different science projects. We brought doctors over here that had experimented with twins and all this sort of thing, Mengele, and the bottom line is what we're witnessing today is a combination of Bolshevism and fascism. And if you think back on World War II, it was the fascists versus the Bolshevists. But that was the Hegelian dialectic. And the outcome of that is what we have here. And at the end of the war, the Nazis and the Nazi spies, they went to South America via the Pope, they went to Great Britain, and they went to the United States, ostensibly because they had knowledge of the Russians. But the bottom line is Bolshevism and fascism are combining today and called neocons, and like the Bush Nazi crew, they're all a bunch of eugenicists, and they never were really separate. They just made a fake war. They said, well, let's see, we need two opposing sides, and they rub them together, and then they get the outcome that they want. You know, it's the problem solution, and they end up with the antithesis that they were looking for to begin with. And so today, what's really important is that this same bunch have been orchestrating for the last 100 years in this country to do exactly what they're doing right now, and that's implementing a police state and a total takeover of this country. So, you know, the more I look at it, the more I know that there will be some act of terrorism or some instrument that they can use to impose full-fledged martial law in this country at some point.
Yes. And what's the ordering information on that DVD, Bob?
You know what? I can probably make a copy and send it to you. I think you can watch it on Google. And
okay.
I know Hanky's in California, and I do have his email address. I can email it to you, Mark.
Sure. Send that to me. I'd be very interested in following up with that, Bob. And one of the interesting things I think you've mentioned today in that incredible memo that you have read from November the 22nd, 1963, it really nails down that the George Bush that has appeared and then has disappeared in regard to these initial FBI and CIA memos about the aftermath of the assassination is, in fact, George Herbert Walker Bush. I mean,
absolutely.
That memo that you read identifies his street address. It identifies him as being the president of the Zapata Oil Company, and it uses his two middle names and everything else. So, memo was an official FBI memo.
Yes, sir.
Yes.
It's an official United States government memorandum. It says to Special Agent Houston from S.A. Graham W. Kitchell. And it's all marked up. I've got a copy of the document. A friend of mine named Stephen St. John sent it to me a couple of years ago. And because I have been writing for the last 15 years that I know old man Bush has been involved in the assassination of Kennedy, which was a coup d'etat. They overthrew our government. And what basically happened is the CIA has taken total control of our government, and they did it in 1963. They have allowed us to think that we vote. They have allowed us to think that we have some kind of say in our government, but we have none, zero. And it's time that people recognize the facts and stop living in this dreamland or dream world and hoping things are going to get better, because since 1963, they haven't gotten better. The bottom line is, when you look at, okay, Bush as vice president under Reagan and then president, Bush was in control of a lot of things for a long time. And they brought in those Arabs from the first Gulf War. They brought in 3,500 to 4,000 Iraqi Red Guard, and a lot of them located around Oklahoma City. And the day that the Oklahoma City bombing happened, there were six Arabs arrested and released. and they were released at the instruction of high-level FBI, and then they left the country. And they're rogue agents. They're contract agents for the CIA. And Bush was responsible for bringing them here. So, you know, things aren't what they appear to be. And, you know, all of this nonsense, thinking that America cannot suffer the ravages of communism and fascism, is cognitive dissonance, because it's happening.
Yes, and I think as you demonstrate, and you know, as several other people, including Mark Glenn of Crescent and Cross, have underscored in their conversations with me on these subjects, is that certainly when we think about all of the ramifications of the Kennedy assassination as we presently understand it, as a result of the fine research of some of these people over a period of decades who did not accept the official story and who brought to the rest of us the evidence as to why.
You know something, Mark? I wanted to make one last comment.
Sure.
Towards the end of Bush's administration as president, he was interviewed by Sarah McClendon. And I saw the interview when it was live, but I haven't seen it on YouTube or Google or anywhere since then. But he said, Sarah, if the American people ever find out what the Bush family has done to it, they'll chase us down the streets and lynch us.
Well, I tell you, things continue to unfold, don't they, in terms of the connections that you draw between the implications of the Kennedy situation and what happened on September the 11th, 2001. We'll be back. This is Mark Dankoff's America on RBN. Stay tuned.
The Idaho Observer is one of the last independent American presses and isn't afraid to print the truth. The Idaho Observer is a monthly 24-page hard copy newspaper in its fifth year of addressing important issues affecting all freedom-loving Americans. If you are concerned about the burgeoning national debt and the Orwellian police state growing up around you, then subscribe to the Idaho Observer. Only $25 for 12 monthly issues. Idaho Observer readers receive vital insight into events as they unfold. Our articles editorially emphasize activism and serve as a networking tool for like-minded individuals determined to make a difference. The Idaho Observer, printing what you need to be fully informed on issues that matter to real Americans. Go to idaho-observer.com or call 208-255-2307. That's 208-255-2307.
Hi, Steve Shank, Fearless Task Force. The J. Michael Stevens Group is shipping a lot of storable food. It's smart that you're getting going at your food supplies. 1 week after the report came out that the world had eaten more food than it produced last year, the country turned into a deep freeze, wiping out a huge part of the new crop. An example? In 24 hours, clementine oranges doubled in price. If you intend to start or finish your supply, call immediately. When you call, tell them how many adults and how many years of food you need. When there are shortages, missing items will be substituted, maintaining the quantity of food necessary. Money is not the problem. Availability is. Be careful. When food supplies get short, with no future, many retailers ship real trash to supply you. For safe food you can trust, call 800-409-5633. On the web, efoodsdirect.com. 800-409-5633.
Sit back, relax, and enjoy a vacation to the beautiful Ozark Mountains. Howard Creek Resort is nestled conveniently between the cities of Bull Shoals and Mountain Home on Bull Shoals Lake in the natural state of Arkansas. Howard Creek Resort offers easy access to excellent fishing and water recreation of all types. The excitement of nearby Branson music shows and Silver Dollar City is accented perfectly by the many attractions located here in the heart of the Ozarks. Horseback riding, water skiing, scuba diving, hiking, caves, and rock climbing are just a few of the many activities that are available to do in our area. Howard Creek Resorts offers it all. Whether you're staying for the weekend or for a month, Howard Creek Resorts is the place to be, an excellent place to stay, and a valued traditional family vacation resort. Visit our website at www.howardcreek.com or call 1-877-253-7690. Come visit us for a lifetime of memories.
We'll be right back.
America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. I'd like to thank Bob for some of his comments and perspectives in the first part of this hour. And we'll invite Bob to send me via email some of the things that he referenced in our conversation. I wanted to take one more caller before we come on with Chuck Carlson at 8 o'clock, and that caller is Steve from Tennessee. Go ahead, Steve.
Morning, brother.
Hi, how are you, sir?
Doing a whole lot better than I deserve.
Hey, good.
Yeah. Got a little trivia for you.
Okay.
And I did want to thank that brother just before me there. He had a lot of very true information that I'm aware of also. There's a family called the Howland family. Have you heard of those guys?
The Howland, H-O-W-L-A-N-D?
Correct.
For some reason, that means something to me, and I don't really know why, so go ahead.
Well, it's an interesting family. There's Joseph Ira is in there, Emma Hale. You ever hear of those people?
No.
Okay, well, here's one you might notice. Joseph Smith.
Yeah, that name means something to me.
Yeah, I figured that one would. That's
yes.
The Ed Mormon.
Yes.
Okay, well, he was a high-level Mason. Okay, and another interesting fellow, Grand Orient Lodge Masonry, Winston Churchill.
Okay.
And same family.
Yes.
And another very interesting fellow that was a high-level Mason, his name was Franklin Delano Roosevelt.
Yes.
Same family.
Interesting.
Yeah, very interesting. And another fellow that the brother just before me mentioned was a Richard Nixon. Same family.
Yes.
Okay. And another interesting fellow that we know of, his name was King, but he changed it to Gerald Ford.
That's right. His actual name was King, wasn't he? Because he was adopted, yes.
Yes, okay, from that family.
Yes.
And it was interesting. He pardoned his cousin, Richard.
Most interesting.
Remember that? Yeah. Okay, well, anyway, this Ford is, 33-degree Mason, high-level Mason. And another interesting fellow that is in that same family is Baby Bush.
Interesting. And what do you see as the common thread here, Steve, the Masonic connection?
Well, basically Masonic. Another interesting little piece of trivia here is that the Skull and Bones logo is the same logo for the SS.
Really?
Yes. Check that
interesting.
Out.
Interesting.
Yes. And I, in this circle that we run in here, most of us have an idea about Pope Pius XII, Hitler's Pope. We know that Himmler was a Mason. We knew that, this is a Catholic organization. They, Von Van Pippen, or pronounce his name. I mean,
stay with us, Steve. We'll be back. This is Mark Hancock's America coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We'll finish our conversation with Steve, and then bring Steve Carlson on. Stay tuned.